People a lot of times say it's a pleasure to be here, but it really is. Talking to a bunch of guys about being a dad, I mean, other than my marriage to my wife, my kids are my number one ministry. But, you know, every Christian dad wants happy, godly kids, right? The question is, but how do you turn those good intentions into a godly legacy? And we're going to talk today about really three keys to help make that happen. But when I was young, I had a dream. And I had this, I'm kind of obsessed with this dream. The dream is that I just imagine, it's in various places in the Bible, Matthew 25, 21 is one of them. But it's where the Lord says through a parable, "Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And I brought it, left it in the car. I even had this, well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I had this vision of what that would look like. And I described it to this friend of mine who's a painter. And I said, "And you know, I want the Lord to come down off his mercy seat. I want him to be hugging this guy in this, I've been waiting for you so long, embrace." And the guy, he would be this business guy with just buried his head in the chest of Jesus and is sitting there just feeling that embrace. I said, "But the one thing I have to have in this painting is the guy has to be bald. Because nobody paints a bald guy with Jesus." And the guy didn't just paint some bald guy with Jesus, he painted me. I should have brought it to my car, actually. Big old honking painting. And it's a visual. It's a visual for me. I have it in my office. I also have a copy at home. Why? I want to be constantly reminded that we're doing this one day to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And nowhere is that more important than what we do in our homes. But then God gave me a new dream. And that dream is for that moment where God is embracing us. That moment is this: when I see God do that with my kids. We can't make our kids be faithful. We can't make them. We can't convince them. We can't cajole them. We can't beg them. We can't sweet talk them. We can't discipline them into that moment. So I can't control whether or not that happens with my kids. But my task in life, other than loving my wife, is to help my children as much as I can, make it easy for them to want that, to lead them, to not only know how to do that, but to want to. Right? Because the kicker here is not to inform our children as to how that works only. Yes, we inform them, we teach them, we model that. But ultimately, I'm just convinced my older age now, 61, is that this is all about helping our families and others want to be faithful, to lead them to want what they need to be faithful. That is my absolute driving passion in life, is to what can we do to help people do that, starting with me and my wife and my kids. So the question is, do y'all have a dream? I mean, have you really thought about what do you hope happens with your family, in particular here as dads, as with our kids? I mean, what do you hope for them? Do you know it? Can you articulate it? More importantly, do your kids know that? My kids all have their own dreams, but I can tell you what, if they otherwise were to say, "Tell me about what your dad hopes for you," they'll say, "He wants me to hear, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" So let's talk about two types of dads. So I call them default dad and well done dad. So the first dad, well, default dad, is they could be great dads, right? So this is who I was early as a dad. By the way, I did it just the way my dad did it. Good and bad, I ended up by default being like who my dad was. Now, praise the Lord, my dad's a great guy, but let's just say dad wasn't into my feelings. That generation, different. So it was about breaking bad habits and fixing behavior and stopping drama. That's what I tried to do with my kids. And my oldest, my daughter, let's just say we had some challenges early on. But the problem is that good intentions don't necessarily turn into kids who are going to hear well done, right? Well-intended is not necessarily well done. So what I began to do over time was, and this is what I would encourage us to be thinking about, how can you join me in my journey? It's not about being like me. It's about how could we otherwise become what I would otherwise call a well-done dad. So we're still trying to break habits, but we're doing that by bonding with our kids' hearts. We're still trying to fix behavior, but we do it by funneling their beliefs. Yes, I'd love my kids to share my beliefs, but they have different beliefs. I'm just trying to funnel them through their own uniquenesses into ways they're going to honor God through how they're wired. And I'd love to stop drama. I hate drama. Just saying. But I want to stop drama by helping my kids, by helping shape their dreams. Not copy me. How do we help them do that for themselves so that it's theirs, right? My dad and mom were great people, but their faith didn't save me. I had to have my own personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing, as my kids are having kids, I want to help them not just hope that they'll otherwise have kids that love the Lord. I want to help them think that through. So let me tell you a quick story. 17 years old, actually the day before my 17th birthday, and I'm from Iowa, so lots of farm work. And I am outside putting bales of hay, not those big fancy ones back in the day, the big rectangular ones, on this conveyor going up to the barn. And I'm daydreaming about my girlfriend and two-a-day football practices, which are going to start the next day. And I'm just mindlessly putting these stupid bales of hay on this conveyor, the ones that fell off, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, my pant legs had got caught in a spinning tractor shaft, power takeoff. It took my jeans and spun them, ripped up on one side, crossed my waist, and down the leg. And I was standing there, and it happened in like 2-3 seconds. And I'm sitting there looking down, and all I have on is shorts and a belt with fragments of jeans left. Now, I don't know why the Lord saved me. I used to think it's because I was so strong. Really. I don't know why he saved me. But I didn't intend for my jeans to dangle over that spinning tractor shaft. It just happened. And I say, too, we don't intend to put our children in danger. It just happens. Because what we're not doing is we're not being intentional oftentimes to help them know the dangers, but also the joys. And that's the point, to not be default, standing there, ultimately to dangle our children over danger because we weren't doing the things that made it easy for them to choose well. Again, we can't make their choices. I have a hard time with my own choices sometimes, but we're trying to lead our families to want to be faithful. And that starts with them seeing how we do it, right? Not perfect, but how do we lead them to want that? So let me share with you guys three things. And they're a little conceptual, so maybe I'll give you some practical examples, hopefully, if we have time. The first is, and this is, get past the words, the first is vision. And I kind of talked about that. What do you hope for your family? Do you have a vision? Do you have a mission? I say no vision, no mission at home is a reality until your kids know it's real. Do they know what you stand for? Do you know what you stand for? Do you know what values you're trying to pass down? So I have a friend, Diana Boer, who says, it's difficult to lead people to a place they cannot see, to an understanding you yourself do not have, to a goal you cannot communicate. You got to know what you're shooting for. It's hard enough when you know it, because we all fall off the wagon, so to speak. Articulate it, you don't just have to think about what that looks like. And again, if you can't articulate it, you don't have it. If your kids don't have an idea as to what you're shooting for, chances are you're probably not shooting for anything that's going to be memorable to them. Again, not to push this book, but the book talks about an exercise I call 50-20-5-1. It's very, very simple. It can take you 20 minutes or it can take you a year. But literally, you just say, here's 50 things that make me happy, 50 pursuits. And you take 50, you write them down, and you circle 20, and those are 20 passions you live for. I'm sorry, I misspoke. 20 priorities that you'll sacrifice for. Simple. I pick 20 of those that I will sacrifice to enjoy. You narrow 20 of those priorities down to 5 passions you'll live for and 1 purpose you will not live without. It's just a simple little exercise. I did it with my kids. It's one of the most memorable times with my kids. They were teenagers and preteens at the time. By the way, like 10 years later, they gave it to me as a Christmas present. How their lives changed. They redid their list like 10 years later. And wow, how their lives change. But wildly, their purpose and their passions didn't change much. Again, it's not that it's some great exercise by itself. It's that I'm getting my kids to think about what is it that you're going to stand for? And what are you going to pursue? When my youngest son, Caleb, did that, 24 of his 50 were just like mine. He'd never seen my list. It's amazing what happens when we take the time and give our kids a forum in which they encourage you guys to things. My dad never did this. He's a great dad. Gets there. I'm just trying to encourage you guys to think, too, how can I do this in a way that gets their interest? I'll give you one more example. So I did this. I call these monuments, but on my wife's 50th birthday, I wrote down 50 reasons that it's a privilege to be your husband. And she cried. Oh my, she cried over this. And there were a few in there that were inside jokes or whatever. But I mean, I just took the time to tell her what I love about her, right? So whatever. She put it in the refrigerator and she showed it to her friends. And I was like the man for like, you know, a week. But let me tell you what. A year later, on Father's Day, I got a gift. It was called 50 Reasons You're an Awesome Dad. I saw they got together on their own with their mom, and I got to see a window into what my kids valued. I had a son, Caleb. He was like 16 and didn't give a rip about much of anything, right? He wouldn't communicate. Occasionally, he may grunt, but he was not going to talk. And it's like, what does Caleb want? What is he like? And he was my youngest. It's like he's the one's about to leave, so I'm going to be empty nester here. I'm thinking, I got to make my time count. And I thought, what is he like? He likes Dallas Mavericks, back in the Dirk days, right? And I thought, I'll get a weekend series of games, like 8 games or something. Never done that before. And after the first 2 games, Caleb loved it. Dad, son time, how great is this going to be, right? And after about the 3rd game, he didn't care. I spent all this stinking money and all this time. It's like, seriously? You don't, he'll take his girlfriend maybe. It's like, it was about 8 or 10 years later on that 50 Reasons You're an Awesome Father. Each of the kids got up like 5 or 6 of their own, then they had common memories. One of his 5 or 6 was Dallas Mavericks tickets. Now, why would a kid, teenage kid, one of his greatest memories of his father be of basketball games he didn't go to? Because he knew I was trying. Mess up, you bet. But my point of it is guys, when your kids don't respond, what do? Sulk? I'm still mad about those Mavericks tickets, by the way. Just saying. But I look back at it and go, it's examples of they are watching, they are waiting, they are looking to see, do we care? Do we care enough to try the things that connect with them? Yeah, I like basketball, but not enough to spend that much money on those tickets, just saying. But it's because my son knew what I was trying to do. The second one, I think there's three keys. The first is vision, the second is character. So it's a vision to choose your treasures. Know what you're choosing. That's why the 50-25-1 is about, what are you choosing? then you got to have the character to back it up, the character to live it out, right? So I'll give you three things maybe that I've just been learning, still learning. How do you mold their characters? And then what are a couple things that'll just break it? Three things maybe just to encourage you to how do you mold your kid's character? Because what kid otherwise goes, Dad, I'm so mad that you're not molding my character. Thanks, Dad, for giving me boundaries. Have you ever heard those words? Are you kidding me? But when we're parenting not for when they're 13, not when they're 3. Good luck trying to make your kids happy when they're 3 or 13. Chase that dream. But if you're parenting for when they're 33 or 43, looking back, that's what I'm parenting for. That's what I'm trying to encourage you guys to think about is when they're older, looking back and going, what was my dad like? So three things. One is to let your kids know your character. My dad didn't open up and share with me his thoughts or his feelings. It was like, here's how you're going to do it, Tim, whether you like it or not. And by the way, I was supposed to like it. I didn't at the time. But let your kids open up and let them know you. The second is what I call give mine, earn yours. Typically, what I see is the opposite. That is, I'm your dad. I deserve your honor, your respect. You got to give it to me. And a lot of times, dads, we can be tough in terms of not giving it, regardless how the kids act. I'm telling you, flip it around and say, I don't care what you do. This applies to life, marriage, work, anything, but especially with kids. I'm going to give you mine no matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. And what I'm also going to do is I'm not going to demand or deserve yours. I'm going to earn yours. I'm going to give you mine, and I'm going to earn yours. I'm telling you, if you just do that, that could radically change a lot of homes. And the third is, this was hard for me, is how do you become I wanted to become a student. I learned that I had to become a student of my kids. What makes them tick? This isn't some kind of soft parenting. This isn't, no. You're the dad. God gave you the spiritual charge as the leader of your home. It doesn't mean that I'm pounding the table going, I'm in charge. It means God gave me the spiritual position that I have to be the leader of my home. The question is, how are we going to do that? And what kids are looking for, I promise you, I learned the hard way, is they're looking to see, but are you connecting with me where I am? Become a student of your children. The two things I'll say are character blockers. Kids will forgive almost anything, I believe, except for two things. A pattern of hypocrisy and a failure to try. Again, if you're parenting for when they're 33 and 43, not when they're 13, trying to chase their happiness when they're 13. It's when they're looking back and going, Dad tried. And you know what Dad messed up? But what Dad did is he tried very hard to be consistent. It's not hypocrisy. It's a pattern of hypocrisy. And I'll share with you three things maybe about that. I had this idea. My kids love superheroes. I hated those movies, still do. Oh, Marvel stuff. Y'all, if y'all love them, power to you. But I think those are goofy. Sorry, I don't like Superman type stuff. But I wanted to become a hero to my kids. I wanted to them to say two things, that Dad is my hero and that he's godly. And I thought, I need to become, for them, a character hero. Someone they would look to like I look to him for my dad. He has lots of quirks, but my dad's my hero because his character is so strong. And I wanted to become a character hero that would instill character in my kids. I would speak character over them, but most importantly maybe, is I would celebrate the character that's already in them. It's so easy for me, at least, to get caught up in fixing my kids instead of celebrating what's already good in there and molding them to where they want that for themselves. Third thing a quick exercise it's called secret sauce. You just pick one word from each of the letters of the alphabet, 26 words, A to Z. In my family, we picked authentic and beliefs and choices and devoted, courager, we picked that. I did it, by the way, and I got together with my wife. I changed 14 of them after my wife and I did it. But I did that with my kids. And here's my quick story. I took them on a vacation, and they were all early 20s at this point. And I had them do the exercise with us. So each of the couples did this A to Z exercise. So they got together, had this really cool time of making fun of each other and their words and how quirky and goofy they were. My daughter announced that night that she was pregnant with our first grandchild in the club. But the cool thing was that 7 months later, here's what I realized. 7 months later, when she gave birth to Cade Boulder Medlin, their B word was bold. She named her child after one of the character qualities that she and her husband were choosing, as they wanted their children to be bold for the Lord. And all I'm saying is, I can still get teary-eyed thinking about it. It's that I'm trying to help my children want this for themselves. So all these things that we're talking about, and even, again, not pushing the book, but the book is about these practical ways to take these things and make them real, right? What kid gets excited about character? But when they're older, looking back, because I want them to be able to look at you men and say, my dad, he was trying. And he was trying in a way that was consistent with what he was saying. The last one is culture. And how do you turn culture into something your kids want? And again, I'll just, for time's sake, I'll share a couple things. By the way, I used to tell my kids, stuck in the onions. Because my kids thought I was the weirdest dad, right? Stuck in the Stone Ages, and I didn't know their stories and their music, and I used to say, you know what? And we're the normal ones. And now that they're older, they're going, we really kind of are. We're all kind of a little bit goofy. This isn't about trying to have a way. It's about helping us lead our children in a ways that they can connect with. And culture is multiplying your values through an environment that is inspiring to your children. How do you get their attention? How do you help them want that? So a couple things. Let me just say, I encourage you to keep going. Because sometimes, guys, at least for me, I find with men, moms, there's a reason why guys, athletes would say, hi, mom, on TV, right? Moms are always there, almost always there. But the dad, and sometimes, I find it easier for me to I've said this is how it's going to be, and here's how it is. It's harder for me, at least, to be faithful to just keep doing it. I want to see some results. I want to see something. Since I'm a financial guy by background, I'll throw out a financial one, right? You invest a dollar at 1% interest, over 50 years, it's worth $1.64. You invest a dollar a day, $1 a day for 50 years, and there's 10% interest, it's worth $467,000+. And my point is this. What would your kids look like when they're 50 if you just did one thing each day to invest in their character? Just one. Find something that connects with them, that draws their interest. What would your kids look like when they're 50? So it's just an encouragement to just keep going. I told you about the Maverick tickets, that A to Z, pick your 26 character words. So my son sent me a photo the other day of him and his wife at some coffee shop. I don't drink coffee, so I don't get that either, but they're at a coffee shop. They had one child at the time, and they were sitting down and choosing new A to Z words as to what they're going to do for their children. And my point is simply this. It's like, I don't care. And the same kid about a year earlier said, Dad, I'm so sorry. We didn't do that exercise, but I did this. I made it my own. Are you kidding me? It's that it's when it becomes theirs. And my encouragement is, guys, just don't give up. You set your course. I'm going to live it, and I'm going to instill it. Too many times we try to install things on our children instead of trying to figure out how do we instill it in them. How do we help that be in ways that they can connect with? So let me leave you with a thought or two. What is, God measures your success not by the comparability of your accomplishments, okay, but by the completeness of your faithfulness. I've spent much of my life trying to be like somebody else, try to copy someone else. And what I'm trying to encourage us here in the room is to say, how did God wire you? What giftedness did he give you? And how do you maximize that? How do you maximize your opportunity that God's given you and be faithful today to take a step? So if I leave you with one other thought is this really is about, it's not a magic panacea, right? There's so many ways to do this. But my encouragement to us today is to take a step, right? The book does give you some examples of how to do that, but my encouragement is start where you are. Invest today. Do something little. Find ways to connect with your children, whether they're three or like my kids are 36 to 31 now. I'm trying to be a better dad now than I was when they were little because I have a whole different perspective now. I'm doing what I can today instead of lamenting or wish I would have done 20, 30 years ago. So no matter where you are, guys, you may be at the very start going, oh, geez, I've really blown it. You may be on the opposite side and be a great grand, right? But no matter where you are, your kids need you. They need you to connect with where they are to lead them to one day, as much as you can do, prepare them to feel the Lord's embrace, bald or not. Lead them to that embrace where God one day says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. So that's my encouragement is, guys, do whatever we can to make it as easy for our children as possible to experience that moment, because that's the moment that matters more than anything else.